Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this beautiful day. We're so grateful for the cool air and for the sunshine, and we just praise you. We worship you. We're so grateful to be your children and for your word and for the fellowship of the believers and body of Christ, and how that encourages us, and the way you have planned things to build us up in one another. And I pray that today you would speak to each person's heart with your words of conviction, encouragement, strengthening, whatever each person needs, Lord. I pray that you would open up the eyes of her heart, my heart, by your Spirit, so that we might know you better, so that we might be your witnesses in the world, that we might serve you, we might love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we might be the mothers that you desire for us to be, the wives that you desire for us to be, friends, daughters, whatever role we are, Lord, just I pray that we might be filled up with Christ, so that we might overflow to those around us. Speak through me today, Jesus. Pray that all my words would be your words. Help me to speak clearly so that I could be understood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I love this chapter. Actually, not. this chapter on unbiblical methods, which was like so hard to teach. But it reminded me of one of my favorite stories that my sister and I still laugh about. So kids are in the backyard, on my backyard playing, and I have three children, and they're, you know, 2 years, 3 years apart, and which is like a huge distance apart for like y'all nowadays. But anyway, but they're in the backyard. My sister's daughter's in the backyard. So that's at least four, and then there were neighborhood kids in the backyard. They're jumping on the trampoline. I don't know why, but for some reason they were being loud in my mind. Maybe I thought the neighbors were being bothered. I don't know, but for some reason, so I go to the back door. I'm talking to my sister, blah 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 blah. And so I go to the back door. I open up the back door, and they're all being loud and yelling and noisy. And I open the back door, and I yell at them, "Stop that yelling!" She looks at me, and I look at her. I mean, it was much louder than this, but I don't want to yell in the church. And she looks at me, and I look at her, and we just burst out laughing because I had yelled at them to stop yelling. So we were like, okay. So I love that story because it's such a great unbiblical moment. Unbiblical method moment. So we still talk about that yelling. Because it was yelling at them to not yell. So I wish we could go through like all the list of like, okay, don't do this, don't do that. I love when I was a parent, and as many of the leaders when we were parents, we all want, just give me a list. Just give me a list of what to do, what to don't do, as if I could really do it. Okay, you know, like that would be achievable, because it's not. But anyway, I know that's kind of what you all wish for sometimes, is a list, but it's not really achievable anyway. So just take that off your plate. So, but I am going to talk about for a second, not much, but root of unbiblical methods, root of biblical methods. This is just a short list. It's not comprehensive in any way. It's just some things that came to my mind. There's a lot more things that could go on this list, but roots of unbiblical methods, so much of the time, are rooted in things like fear of man. You know, I'm afraid what other people will think, so I'm going to act this way. I want praise of others, so I'm going to act this way. And, you know, the Pharisees were a lot like that in the Bible. When Jesus, he acknowledged that they're doing things for the praise of others. They, all the time, they did things outwardly, but they were different inwardly. There's a disregard for God, so people act certain ways, and so they, because they don't care about what God says. There's a love of self, and so that's the root oftentimes of unbiblical methods. There's conditional love, let's be honest. I like it when you do this, I don't like it when, like, love you when you do that. There's the world's wisdom and world's understanding. So I'm going to get my wisdom and my philosophy and my way I'm going to do things in my house from what, you know, blogs or, you know, certain things I read or other people's information, the way I was brought up, just et cetera, from worlds. So that's kind of roots, maybe just general things I've picked up along the way. Roots of unbiblical methods. Roots of biblical methods are fear of God and God's authority. We've talked a lot about that in, you know, Carol and Elizabeth's teachings and in the book and your small groups, and desire to glorify God. You know, is this method glorifying to the Lord? You know, am I seeking first His kingdom or my kingdom? And my identity in Christ. You know, I'm a child of God, beloved by Him. That is a root of a biblical method, you know. So what I'm doing is sourced out of that identity, not identity of being a good parent. Of, you know, I want other people to see me a certain way. You know, the praise of others. Do I love God and love others primarily? You know, that kind of thing. And then God's wisdom, and God's wisdom and understanding, of course, from His Word, is where we would get that wisdom and understanding. So that's just kind of like roots of those biblical things. So what I'm going to do is something that y'all don't get to do very often. This might make you uncomfortable, but we're going to take 3 to 5 minutes. Just pretend like you're at the end of your yoga class, but we're going to be like quiet. We're going to take just a few minutes. I'm going to play some music. I'm going to read a passage of scripture first, and then I want y'all to think about this question I'm going to ask you at the end. I'm going to go back to this. I'm going to read a passage, okay? It's John 4, if you want to follow along. And it's a familiar passage. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The water said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. But what you have said is true." The woman said, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." So, what I want to ask you is, what is your living water? So just take a few minutes and play a song. Don't feel uncomfortable. If you want to, just close your eyes and just maybe doodle or write on the back of that piece of paper and just think about, what is your functional trust? What are you really trusting in? Is it Christ? Is it sometimes Christ? Is it something else that we've talked about on maybe on that list? But just take a few minutes and think about it. No pressure, but if anybody wants to share like some of the things that came to mind, like what is your living water? What would anybody like to share some of what you thought of? No pressure. Okay, I will tell you mine. Because I think often, like especially in parenting, some of my living water became approval of others. So I know that everybody can relate to that. I would become either in the, what happens if your living water becomes approval of others or praise of others, then you either fall off one side or the other. You're either really insecure, so you parent out of insecurity, or you're prideful and you parent out of pride. So that's what happens then to your children, is because of what's happening inside of you, then you respond out of either insecurity, and they really need to be really good at something so that you can feel better about yourself. They need to be well behaved, or you're really proud of them because they're really good at something, or they're really bad at something, they need to get better. You know, you see how this, what happens because of the not having the living water be the source of the true living water, Christ, be the source of the security, of what the trust, the foundation. And then also, before I go to my next one, I'll tell you another one, because there's all one. My personal comfort. Sorry, y'all. I lost like two pairs of glasses. I'm wearing contacts. I'm like, what does this say? another one is personal comfort. So this comes out in different ways. Like maybe it could manifest in me like impatience or disciplining with the desire just to get the situation at a more peaceful place. Like I'm not really concerned with how their heart or processing it through with them. Not every time, but just like I just want it to be quiet and like people to get along. Can we just get along right now? Okay. Not really to understand their heart or living for God's glory or anything like character, you know, something like that. But let's just get along, all right? You know, that because I am tired or whatever. And there's a long list. I think you'll know where I'm going, and you're smart people, and you can figure out your thing. But take the time to, is the point. In Jeremiah 2:13, it says, "My people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me first, and the spring of living water, and then they've dug their own cistern." So not only did they turn from Christ, but they've dug their own. A cistern was like a pit that they would dig, and it would fill up with water, and it would get kind of nasty. It would have like just still water, but they would have to use it because there was not another source of water. But then if it would break, it would get cracked, and then, you know, wouldn't even be able to hold water at all. And the point is, it's not a spring, it's not fresh. And Christ says, "I am living water. I'm flowing. I'm a spring always, never ending." And so everything else that we use for security besides Christ is going to be a broken cistern. It's not. It's going to be something we have to keep working at. It's going to have to keep getting more approval, keep getting more praise, keep getting better comfort. I'm going to keep having to look better. I mean, it's just a constant. It's not. It's just sinking sand, Jesus says. So it's just a foothold that is not a rock. So it's just, there's so many metaphors. So what I want to focus on today is this. You think, well, that's not the focus? Is Romans 12:2. So this is in your homework on the workbook, but do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So in God's faithfulness, he has made me more and more aware of this reliance on myself and my other functional God, so to speak, and worked in me this process of growth and renewal in my mind. Okay, so it's affected my parenting. And my kids are grown now, but it did affect me. I became more repentant, more patient, quicker to listen, slower to speak, slower to become angry, better at communicating. I'm not saying I was like perfect. I'm not ever saying that. But I was growing and being renewed. As I was also growing, like y'all are, by coming here and like by being in worship, being in community with one another, serving, that's all part of it. Has anybody been seeing monarch butterflies flying around? So what was so cool, because that torrential rain that we had like a week ago last Saturday, I know y'all remember because you're all stuck at home. It poured down rain. It was so hard. And then the next day, on Sunday, it was like sunny. And I took a walk, and there was like a ton of monarch butterflies outside. I couldn't believe it. I was like, how did they survive? And that's Cindy McCorder, Providence. You know, some of y'all probably have her. She said, well, they hang upside down somewhere, and they live through the rain. You know, some of them don't survive, but many of them do. I love to think about the monarch butterfly, or any butterfly for that matter, because of what this is what God, it's a good picture of what God has done in the believer, especially when you're thinking of the words like conform and transform. This is the worm there is the old you, and the butterfly is the new you. So everybody knows, and I didn't put all the pictures of like the little larva, and then after the larva eats all the milkweed or whatever other plant they eat, they become a big caterpillar, and then they form the chrysalis, and then they're inside the chrysalis, and then they break out and go fly, and they become the butterfly. It's a transformation like no other in creation, and that that's the question I want to ask you. How are you different when you have trusted Christ as believing in Him? Okay, what has happened to you? So we're going to look up. You also looked up this verse in your homework. God says, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone, that's our hard heart, from your flesh and give you." A heart of flesh, a soft heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. This is the transformation that happens in the believer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. We are not the caterpillar anymore or the butterfly. I got this from my husband who... coincidentally, he did teach so much of the same stuff on Sunday, which was funny. We didn't know we were on the same page. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, that means like the work of Christ on the cross, like you believe they died on the cross for you, forgave your sins. When it's not connected with the person of Christ within you, the Spirit, is it any wonder there's a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? Jesus' promises about the rivers of living water, these promises are not hollow words, for he is that living water, and if you belong to him, he has joined his life to you. The reason this is so significant is that, I'm going to get into this a little bit more, but we are transformed, we're changed by the Holy Spirit. What better way to renew us than by the Holy Spirit uniting himself to our spirit? I think that's just incredible. This God that we've been studying, this God of the universe, the creator of all things, when you believe in him and what he has done, what Christ has done for us, he transforms us in such a way, it gives us a new heart. He joins himself to us. So when you're at home and you're parenting your children, his spirit is united to your spirit. And he can... renew your heart to know what to do and how to be and how to live. I was thinking about when my son, who's 26 now, when he was 2, he went through this really strange stage, which he called bashing, which was really just a weird word for hitting. But he was bashing because he used something to hit with. So he used everything and anything that was a weapon of some kind. So we would correct him, we scolded him, but you know, we were sort of like, well, we can't spank him because it was a weird thing. You like spank him for hitting. I mean, it didn't work. So we took, you know, we'd be like, you know, my mother-in-law had this old toys of my husband. It was some Native American, like, you know, headdress and the tomahawk, and she's like, oh, would you like to have this for John David? And we're like, no. It's like a real one with a real stone inside it. And they're like, I think he would probably commit murder if he had that. It would be very dangerous for him to have that. I mean, but he would have soft toys in the nursery and would hit people. It's a terrible bashing problem. And he could not control himself. He was unable to control his impulses, and he was partly unwilling. Like, he kind of knew, but then he couldn't help himself. Y'all probably know and have children that were similar to this. So then he finally got to the place where he was, at night, at bedtime routine, he'd be like, dear God, please help me not bash. I mean, it was just so sad. I mean, that was the only thing that was going to help him stop. And God answered his prayers. I mean, he just stopped. But I share that story just to show you, it's just a process. It was just a process of, it wasn't like this 2-year-old's going to live for the glory of God today. You know, like, he didn't get that. I mean, but he kind of learned. It was like a step towards learning, a desiring, like, hitting is a bad thing. And it hurts people. We had said that a million times, but, you know, like, this is probably not a good thing to keep doing this, you know? And it was just a baby step, just a beginning to learn that desiring what my parents desire, desiring to, you know, please them, is just a beginning step of that renewal process. It's just a beginning. Just tap my foot right into that. You know, like, that's kind of where you are sometimes. It's just a process, and that's what God's doing with us. It's just a process. It's all a process of getting there. So Elizabeth and Carol, I'll share this verse a lot. We kind of go back to this a lot. We with unveiled faces, that was that reference to Moses. Remember how he used to veil his face when he would go into the presence of God? Because when he would talk with God, he would become radiant, and then when it would fade. And so he put a veil over his face so they couldn't see the fading. But we don't have veiled faces when we are with God. We behold the glory of God with unveiled faces. So we're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this is from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is the same word for transformed as this Greek word. I love looking up Greek words. And it's the same Greek word as the one from our verse in Romans 12. And guess what that word is? It's metamorpho, which is the word for the butterfly, the metamorphosis that happens, the changing. And it's also, it stresses an inward change. And the Greek word is a present, continuous tense. It's something that's happened and continues to happen. This is, God has changed you and made you a new creature in Christ. And he's continually renewing you. Okay, that's the present continuous tense. This change is from one form, I'm going to read change, to change into another form, the change of condition. That's that transforming, that metamorpho. The conformed, this, I can't pronounce this Greek word, it's a, I'm not even going to try. But it's, if you want to spell it, it's S-Y-S. C-H-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O. But this word is being fashioned or shaped one thing like another. It stresses the outward, the unstable, the changeable. And it could never be used about inward transformation. It's a different word than that word in Romans 8 where it talks about being conformed to the image of Christ. It's not the same word for conformed, as in this Romans 12 word. It's a different word. We are being conformed to the image of Christ, not to the pattern of the world. Does that make sense? I love stuff like that. So, okay, where am I going with this? Look at the second part of the verse in Romans 12. As a mom, okay, when you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you are going to be able to test and approve what God's will is. Every day, don't you kind of wonder, like, what am I supposed to do? God, just show me what to do. That's how he shows you, by the renewing of your mind, through his word, and his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love that so much. We ask God, renew me, replace my thoughts with your thoughts, give me wisdom so that I can know your will, your good, pleasing, and perfect will. Sometimes God's methods, God's fatherly methods, don't seem like they're good to us, or pleasing, or perfect. We look at the cross, and it seems like it's upside down. You know, it doesn't seem like a good thing, or a pleasing thing, or a perfect thing, because it was horrific, it was torturous, it was suffering. Yet it was like, what do your kids say? It was the goodest thing that ever happened. You know? Jesus' substitutionary death pleased the Father. Jesus was able to take our place on the cross because he was the perfect sacrifice for our sin, so we can be forgiven and given his perfect righteousness. It's like that with parenting. Methods may not seem good, pleasing, and perfect, but God is full of mercy and grace. He loves unconditionally. He's made us new in Christ. We are the butterfly, his beloved child. We can drink from his living water and parent from that never-ending source within us. So be who you are. I'm going to do one more verse, which I feel like really brings this all together. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts," and that's you. You are here because you want to know Christ. You want support and help in the mothering job that you are doing. "Anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink," Christ, to drink. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. This is the Spirit that has united with your spirit, that says, to whoever believes in him, his spirit has united with your spirit. So we'll close with one thing. In your homework, you'll look in 1 Samuel 16:7. So it talks about how God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but on the inward. And as Samuel is looking to anoint, God tells him to go and anoint the new king, not Saul anymore. He looks at all of Jesse's sons, and none of them are right. And then he comes to David, and God says, "That's the one, because I'm looking at his heart." And then it says that the Holy Spirit rushes upon David, and after that, he goes and does what God tells him to do. And then the next, just not that next section, but the next section right after that is David and Goliath. And all the other people, all the Philistines are on one side, and the Israelites are on this side. And every day, Goliath would come out, and he would yell at them. And he was a huge man, and he had all this armor. It talks about how heavy it was, and he had this armor bearer, and everybody was terrified of him. They were completely terrified. All the army of God, Saul included, the king, they were all terrified. He was like, "Well, I'll give you my wife. You don't have to pay taxes anymore if you just go fight him." And Saul would give a personal challenge. "Whoever comes and fights me, if you fight me, then we'll all be your slaves." But nobody would do it. They're all afraid. And David comes out. He's the most unlikely person. He's small. And he goes, what does he say? He's defying the armies of the living God. And he says, "Well, I'll do it." And he's full of the Holy Spirit. And Saul says, "Okay, well, here, put on this armor that is mine, and I'll do it." Like, you know, and someone in our leaders group said, that's kind of like, you know, going, having the world say, "Okay, you're going to do it. Well, here, do it this way. We'll tell you." And he says, I can't do it that way. I have to do it the way God told me to do it. When I was in the field, I would fight the bear and the lion with my bare hands. And that's how I did it. I love this story so much. Can you believe he would fight a bear and a lion with his bare hands? Anyway, and he went out, and you know the story. He picked up the stone, and he whirled that slingshot, and the huge Goliath giant falls down, and he cuts off his head. I mean, it's like shocking. But he was full of the Holy Spirit. But he did it completely. You know, I think about the biblical methods and the unbiblical methods. You know, like, that's the Philistines are, you know, sort of like the unbiblical. Like, and everybody's just cowering. They're just all afraid. They can't, you know, and here's David comes in with the biblical methods. So think about that, being filled with the living water. You're a new creature in Christ. And be who you are. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just cannot thank you enough. You have done so much for us. We are overwhelmed by your generous grace to us, that you would join your spirit to our spirit and empower us to live for you, to love you, to even see you and believe you. We praise you and we thank you. Bless the time in the group today. Would you encourage each person and strengthen them to know you and walk with you? In Jesus' name, amen.